ఆఖ్యా హి వృషభద్రం వా సాధూనాం అకృతాగసాం ఆత్మవైరూప్యకర్తారం. పార్థానాం కీర్తిదూషణం ఆఖ్యా హి వృషభద్రం వా సాధూనాం అకృతాగసాం ఆత్మవైరూప్యకర్తారం పార్థానాం కీర్తిదూషణం ఆఖ్యా హి వృషభద్రం వా సాధూనాం అకృతాగసాం ఆత్మవైరూప్యకర్తారం పార్థానాం కీర్తిదూషణం. మాతాజీ వర్డ్ టు ప్లీజ్ చాంట్. వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ మీనింగ్ ఆఖ్యాహి, జస్ట్ లెట్ మీ నో. వృష ఓ బుల్, భద్రం గుడ్, వహ ఫర్ యూ, సాధూనాం ఆఫ్ ది ఆనెస్ట్, అకృతాగసాం ఆఫ్ దోస్ వు ఆర్ ఒఫెన్స్లెస్, ఆత్మవైరూప్య డిఫార్మేషన్ ఆఫ్ ద సెల్ఫ్, కర్తారం ద డూయర్, పార్థానాం ఆఫ్ ద సన్స్ ఆఫ్ పృత, కీర్తిదూషణం బ్లాకన్ ద రెప్యూటేషన్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద. ఓ బుల్, యు ఆర్ ఒఫెన్స్లెస్ అండ్ థరోలీ ఆనెస్ట్, దేర్ఫోర్ ఐ విష్ ఆల్ గుడ్ టు యూ. Please tell me, who is the perpetrator of these mutilations which blacken the reputation of the sons of Pritha? Purport. The reputations of the reign of Maharaj Ramachandra and of the reigns of the kings who followed in the footsteps of Maharaj Ramachandra, like the Pandavas and their descendants, are never to be forgotten, because in their kingdoms, offenseless and honest living beings were never in trouble. The bull and the cow are the symbols of the most offenseless living beings, because even the stool and urine of these animals are utilized to benefit human society. The descendants of the sons of Pritha, like Maharaj Parikshit, were afraid of losing their reputations. But in the modern days, the leaders are not even afraid of killing such offenseless animals. Herein lies the difference between the reign of those pious kings and the modern states ruled by irresponsible executive heads without knowledge of the codes of God. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama ముఖం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంగయతే గిరిం యత్కృపాతమహం వందే శ్రీగురు దీనతారినం పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీచైతన్యం ఈశ్వరం. నమాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషాశ్నవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. యోంత ప్రవిశ్య మమ వాచమిమాం ప్రసుప్తాన్ సంజీవయత కిల శక్తిధరా స్వధామ్నా అన్యాం సహస్త చరణ శ్రవణ త్వగాదీన్ ప్రాణాన్ నమో భగవతే పురుషాయ తుభ్యం. కతాంచన స్మృతే యస్మిన్ దుష్కరం సుకరం భవేత్ విస్మృతే విపరీతం స్యా శ్రీ చైతన్య నమామితం. హరే కృష్ణ. We are reading a very dramatic section where Maharaj Parikshit is about to punish Kali. His sword is in hand and it's obvious that Kali has dressed like a king, is a low class man, and is about to harm, he's already harmed the bull and the cow, and Maharaj Parikshit, it's obvious, but he doesn't want to assume. He just is waiting for the answer from bull, Dharma. And once Dharma says, yes, this man is harming me, then Parikshit Maharaj is ready to kill or punish Kali. For this chapter, what we are reading is explaining how Parikshit Maharaj is an ideal king and who is appropriately chastising and punishing Kali, and is not hesitant. Now, seeing the terrible condition of the cow and the bull, they are being beaten by a low-class man. Parikshit Maharaj is speaking in a very deep voice. Daring of Kali. How dare you harm the cow and the bull? And also at the same time, he is pacifying both the cow and the bull and is assuring them of safety. And now he is asking about the perpetrator. And later we will read from 17, 18, 19 and 20th verses. Where four amazing verses where bull Dharma refuses to blame the low class man. She gives an entire analysis on the treatise of karma, which is of course later, we will come to that a few days later. But here, now what we are reading, the main theme is that the virtuous kings, leaders, they do the right thing. They do not seek mundane popularity. Like most people in the world would prefer to choose being popular than follow the truth. We generally prefer to do something which is easy than do the right thing. Right thing may not always be easy. But here we see virtuous kings like Lord Ram, Maharaj Yudhishthir, Parikshit Maharaj. They ensure that their honest and innocent citizens are safe, and for that whatever is needed, a leader will do. That is what we are seeing in today's section also. And if need, ready to use violence also. And the mood is what? I mean, this is externally they are doing like this, but the internal mood of a devotee king or a devotee leader is, I am a servant, and to serve the devotees best, if I have to raise the sword, I will do that. Srila Prabhupada, very beautiful pastime. July 1975, he was in San Diego. And he was giving a class. And that time, in America, there was big news. You know, like we had a few years back when the terrorists attacked. Everybody was, it had completely engulfed the consciousness of the nation. So in July 1975, when Srila Prabhupada was in America, and that time, American merchant navy ship, it had gone into the waters and it had crossed the border, I think, something like that. There is a line, you know, they have. Cambodia's military had arrested that vessel. And US had declared war and their marines had attacked and they lost 15 of their marines. And 50 of them were injured and it was a big news. And finally they got their, they protected their ship. So it was a big news. So, and devotees, most of them were sitting in the class, were all Americans. Everybody was American there. And they were disturbed about this news. So, and then they asked Srila Prabhupada that Srila Prabhupada, should we practice non-violence? Should a leader be kind and empathetic and understand? And Srila Prabhupada gave a brilliant answer. You know, he said, what the American government did is the best thing to do. And then he said, America should tell Cambodia and anyone else who harms them that if you touch the hair of one of our men, there will be fight. And devotees became very happy. You know, they were like, yes. And devotees felt there was spiritual patriotism. And then Prabhupada said, but first we should tell them to become Krishna conscious. And then we should tell them, don't harm our men. So, Srila Prabhupada had a lot of clarity, you know. I mean, generally spiritual leadership means one has to practice ahimsa, non-violence is, very, very important. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada also said that as a means, sometimes violence needs to be used. Especially in leadership issues, in national issues. You can't just say, for ourselves we are non-violent. But when others are harmed, one has to take up arms. Like when Srila Prabhupada, Radhesham Prabhu said this past time. Srila Prabhupada went to meet one very famous guru who was an advocate of non-violence. And as they were talking, and he was like extreme non-violence, you know. So Srila Prabhupada immediately asked him, and his lady disciples were sitting next to him. And he said, if you are going with your lady disciples, and if somebody misbehaves with your lady disciple, will you still be non-violent? So this sadhu kept quiet for some time. And he said, yes, I will practice non-violence. And immediately that lady disciple looked at that guru and she shouted. She said, you will be non-violent. And then Prabhupada, he lightened the conversation. He laughed and he said, no, no. One has to pick up arms. And then that sadhu kept quiet. But Radhesham Prabhu was explaining how sometimes people are attached to the stand they take. And they make that detail as a rule, as a principle. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada endorsed violence when it was, like in Parikshit Maharaj's case. He is ready. But it is in the mood of providing justice and using the proper means. Like for example, you know, we have the famous leader in India who advocated non-violence. And there are these three famous letters or infamous letters he wrote. One to Winston Churchill telling them that when Hitler is attacking you, you should open your doors and allow him to destroy your country. You should practice. These are actual letters. And that's when Winston Churchill was like disgusted with the leader as well as India. And then he wrote a letter to the Jews in Germany and other countries in Europe. He said, you should allow Hitler to destroy you because anyway you are dying. So you should openly, willingly allow it. And then he wrote, then he declared to the Hindus that because they were being attacked by one community. He said, if you allow yourself to be killed, you will usher in a new era of peace. I'm not holding anything against him because, you know, a person has many aspects to his personality. So this may be one, an unfortunate aspect, but he may overall be a good man. So I'm not holding it against him. It's just that sometimes we take non-violence to the other extreme. I mean, if Parikshit Maharaj cannot fold his palms and tell this perpetrator that asamat karo, you know. Yeah, there is a nice saying I heard. Agar dushman samjhane se samajh jata, to bansuri bajane wala kabhi Mahabharat yuddh nahi hone deta. So you can't just be basically non-violence has to be practiced by those who are strong. It is not a tool for the cowards. And the worst part is, you know, many think that I'm non-violent means I'm very, very good. No, if you are good, then you are non-violent. Non-violence is not a sign of, basically it could be that you are just simply a sissy, you know, you are a weak-hearted person. Ramdhari Singh Dinkar, one of our national poets, he said a beautiful statement. It's a very famous poetic line. He said, Kshama shobhati us bhujang ko jiske paas garal ho. Forgiveness has to be practiced by that serpent who has poison. Kshama shobhati us bhujang ko jiske paas garal ho, usko kya jo dantaheen vish rahit vinit saral ho. You know, what is the use of practicing humility when you don't have anything? So, and especially in politics or administrating the country, like Parishit Maharaj is doing, he has to pick up arms if needed. You know, Srila Prabhupada, yesterday I got this amazing, amazing Prabhupada's quote. I want to play it as it is. This is amazing, you know, Srila Prabhupada's clarity. Just look at the clarity on violence. I'll just play his.
But Gandhi, he also read Bhagavad Gita. He made so many wonderful comments on Gita.
That whole language was the aspects of the food. What wonderful food. He preached non-violence, but he was killed by violence. That is his wonderful lesson. He preached it because of non-violence, which is impossible. Therefore, Krishna killed him by violence. This is his lesson. He, his foolishness was proved that cannot be non-violent.
Okay, wait. I'll just say what Prabhupada said so far as the mic is getting arranged. So this devotee is saying Gandhi preached non-violence. So Prabhupada says, that is foolish. Then he said, no, he's preaching on the basis of Gita. Prabhupada said, Arjuna also wanted to be non-violent. But Krishna told him to fight. So Gandhi is saying non-violence.
Where do you put it? Here? Yes, sir.
I'll just read it out. I'll just speak it. So then Prabhupada says, but Krishna told Arjuna to fight. How can you say Gandhi is right? But then look at this, another sentence. He says, you cannot bring non-violence in politics, in administration of the country. So, basically the point Prabhupada is making is one has to be strong and decisive. And here he explains how India got independence because of Subhash Chandra Bose. Because he actually scared the British. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada was so protective of his disciples. Like in Indore, there was Gita Sammelan. And, see, this is an ideal leader. He doesn't hesitate to do whatever is necessary to protect his people. So in the Gita Sammelan, Prabhupada did kirtan in the end because he said all these boring lectures everybody was giving, and Prabhupada said if I also give boring lecture, people want something lively. So, and he had Western disciples, American boys and girls. So he called them on the stage and they did kirtan. And seeing young American men and women dancing on the stage, people were very excited. But you know, there are always everywhere some people who are bad. So some of these gundas, cheapsters, these men jumped on the stage and they started also dancing. So Prabhupada encouraged because everybody is dancing, it's Hare Krishna Kirtan going on. But some of these men, they started dancing too closely to the two lady disciples of Srila Prabhupada who were also dressed in sari, they were beautiful, tilak, and they were also dancing very graciously. But these two men came very close. And they started, you know, very vulgar way they were dancing and they were trying to get too friendly. And Prabhupada is playing kartal, Prabhupada is leading the kirtan. And he is a 77-year-old man. And, you know, the 77-year-old man is doing kirtan and is leading, and Prabhupada saw. In an instant, he realized what's happening. Immediately, you know, this is like kartal was like this. Just immediately Prabhupada, just doing the kirtan, he removed the kartal and he swung it like this and he whacked one of the men, bang, on the head. And immediately that man jumped out of the, because he was completely taken aback that this old man can actually be violent. So therefore Prabhupada is an ideal leader, and he didn't hesitate to speak the truth also. See, Srila Prabhupada actually learned this from his spiritual master. When first time he met his Guru Maharaj at Ulta Danga Road, and that rooftop, where Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur smashed Srila Prabhupada's conception and told him that Krishna consciousness is an emergency. To hear that truth also requires courage. And Prabhupada accepted it. And if you see Srila Prabhupada's life after that, his preaching was always, he spoke the truth, he didn't compromise. When Srila Prabhupada was in New York, 1966, preaching, young boys and girls are sitting in the class, and all of them were against the Vietnam War that was happening. The whole of America was against it. And Srila Prabhupada is speaking on Bhagavad Gita, and he's speaking about how Arjuna doesn't want to fight the war, and Krishna is telling him to fight the war. So this example was agitating the people who had come for the class, because they were connecting Arjuna fighting the war with Vietnam War, although it was not connected. And Srila Prabhupada had chosen a very volatile example, that Arjuna doesn't want to fight and Krishna is telling him to fight. So one of the students asked, what do you think of Vietnam War? Should we fight? Srila Prabhupada said, if Krishna is telling you to fight, and if the situation is such that there has to be violence, there has to be war, then war is necessary. But they couldn't take it, many of them. So then they said, no, what about the Vietnam War? Srila Prabhupada said, Vietnam War will be over in some time. But please understand the importance of following Krishna. So many of them couldn't understand, okay, if you're not addressing the Vietnam War, then what is your relevance? But Srila Prabhupada was challenging them to understand something deeper. Like later on, in few years later, in 1971, India-Pakistan war is happening. And Delhi was being bombed. And it was blackout. So the reporter was interviewing Srila Prabhupada. Suddenly there was a blackout and she panicked. Oh, Swamiji, please tell Yahya Khan to stop the war. Srila Prabhupada said, why do you want to flatter Yahya Khan? If Yahya Khan doesn't kill you, won't you die? He was challenging them to go deeper. So therefore, this is not easy, but at the same time, a pure devotee will become empathetic. He will understand. At the same time, when push comes to shove, as they say, when you are provoked and when you have to choose, then you have to be decisive and clear. Leadership cannot be, sitting on the fence. I was quoting Ramdari Singh Dinkar. He says a very nice line. Samar shesh hai nahi paap ka bhagi keval vyad. Right now, he's saying, the situation is such that the culprit is not only the one who is inflicting violence. He's talking about a context where the British were attacking. He said, it's not the British themselves who are to be blamed. Samar shesh hai nahi paap ka bhagi keval vyad. Jo tatast hai, samay likhega unka bhi aparad. Those who are indecisive, those who are refuse to take a stand, history will blame them also. So leadership is decisive and actions one has to take. And this is not because that leader is proud or, is aggressive. No. He is rooted in the conception, the principle that I am a servant and I want to serve. And to serve, what is best I will do. And Radhesham Prabhu asked His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, that Maharaj, sometimes, I have to scold the brahmacharis in our ashram. And they feel bad. So, but appreciation, But I don't think, you know, sometimes it's not deserving appreciation. So should I appreciate them or should I scold them? I'm confused. So Maharaj said, a very nice answer. Maharaj said, sometimes you may have to scold or sometimes you may have to appreciate, but always remember that what you should do which will help that devotee feel closer to Krishna. What will help him experience Krishna's love in his heart. And whatever is best, that has to be done. And King Parikshit, here Maharaj Parikshit is convinced he is a servant. And he wants to serve. Therefore, when the provocation came later on, when he had to leave everything, he was detached. He was not like holding on. Sachintayam ittam matashuno dyatha mune sutokto niratis takshakaya. Sesadumene nachirena takshaka nalam prasaktasya virakti karanam. When he heard Takshaka is cursed and is going to die, Shringi is cursed and Takshaka is going to kill him, he was ready. I mean, this shows he was detached. This shows that he was not holding on to his position. He was in the mood of a servant. Okay, now this is the way I can serve now, I give up. Now this is what I need to do as a servant, detached responsibility. So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj passed that test, you know, when he was challenged, when he had to leave everything, he left. Last week, Satyanand Prabhu gave a beautiful class. He was saying how, you know, when we are provoked, what is inside, it actually will come out. He gave the story of Akbar Birbal, that Akbar, that man who came who knew different languages, but when that cold water was thrown on him, his mother tongue came out. Similarly, you know, the kings, politicians may say, you know, we are very non-violent, we are very loving, but they may do the most horrible kind of violence by cheating masters, by taking wealth, looting. And when provoked, their dirty, ugly thing comes out. So, therefore, if you see Srila Prabhupada, he was inside, outside, he had nothing to hide. I mean, if you see, we all make notes in classes. We make notes because we want to serve the devotees nicely and we want to give a prepared class. But Srila Prabhupada, no, have you seen any class of Srila Prabhupada where he has come with notes? He is just speaking. And I have analyzed this class because I hear his classes regularly and I make notes. Every class is systematic, you know. I mean, he takes a verse and that theme, he may go here and there, but he'll keep coming back to the theme of that class. Beautifully he builds up. Krishna, you know, he's just inside, outside is. See, Prabhupada, what he thought of, he was inside, outside Krishna, so just came out. Like for us, you know, we think one thing, we feel second thing, we speak the third thing, we do the fourth thing. So we need a lot of notes. I mean, I'm talking about myself. But Parikshit Maharaj, he was aggressive when he needed to be, but later on, when he had to leave the world, he renounced. And what happened is interesting. When the news spread that Parikshit Maharaj is renouncing, everybody came to see him. Tatropa jagmur bhuvanam punana mahanubhava munaya cha shishya prayena tirtha bhikamapadeshe swayam tirthani punanti santha. So when he gave up, mahanubhava, all great, great souls came with their disciples. And the disciples asked, "Oh Gurudev, where are you taking us?" They said, prayena tirtha bhikamapadeshet, we are going to a holy place of pilgrimage. Actually, where they were going? They were coming to see Parikshit Maharaj. But they were considering meeting Parikshit Maharaj as going to a holy place. And Suta Goswami is explaining, swayam mitirthani punanti santa. These great santas are themselves holy place. And they are considering Parikshit Maharaj as a holy place. And when they all came, it's very interesting. When they all came, Parikshit Maharaj could have thought, see, I'm such a great renounced person, I'm such a great devotee, they all are coming to see me. No. His consciousness is exposed in a positive sense. Anye cha devarshi brahmarshi varya rajarshi varya arunadayascha nana shreya pravaran sametan Abhyarchi Araja Shirasava Vande. So, who all came? Not only these saints, which I explained just now. Anye, many others who? Devarshi, very saintly kings. Devtas. Annecha Devarshi, Brahma Rishi is also gradations of Rishis. You know, high Rishi, high class Rishis. Raja Rishi, Varya, and Arunadaya. Arunadaya is also one of the category of Rishis. They all came. Nana, Shreya, Pravratan, Sametan. When they all came, Parikshit Maharaj is seeing them. What did Parikshit Maharaj do? Abhyarcha, Raja, Shirasava, Vande. He put his head on their feet and offered full dandavat. I am your servant. He is convinced I am everybody's servant. And then, looking at them, he tells them, so now it's obvious, they all have come to greet him. They all have come to honor him and take his association, and he's going back. They all are amazed by the king, but Parikshit Maharaj's consciousness is Rajo Uvacha. When he looks at them, what does he tell them? He tells them, you all have come not because I am a great king. He's very clear. Aho vayam danyatama nripanam mahattamanu grahaniya shila. Ragyam kulam brahmana pada shauchad durad trishthad bata garya karma. He says, aho vayam, ho, great fortune, all of you have come. Mahattamanu grahaniya, you are merciful to me. And actually, I am like a place where you go and wash your feet. Pada shauchad bata garya karma. I am addicted to abominable activities, but still you have come. I have to be kept aside. So you have come because you are very much respecting my grandparents, grandfather Arjuna, Yudhishthir Maharaj. Because they are great devotees of Krishna, to honor them you have come. He is not an illusion that I am a great king. No. This is very important, you know. A leader will always be in this mood. That's why one of our very big leaders in the country washed the feet of all the people who are doing low-class job. So when our Holiness Srila Gopal Krishna Maharaj met him and praised him, apparently this leader told Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj that actually, ultimately, whatever I'm doing, I have to be detached. You know, ultimately, this is temporary. So then Maharaj explained to him that we can't say that to you, although we are renounced order. But you are saying it, that's good. Because you are in that mood. So that detachment is very good. So that's why he said that, you know, I am Pradhan Sevak. I am servant. So of course, you know, somebody may claim that, oh, it's all political gimmick. But if you see, only a servant who is detached from position and power and only attached to service, only he can have a peaceful sleep. When he was interviewed, whether you get, what about your rest? He said, as soon as I lie on the bed, I get good rest. And I was reading New Zealand Prime Minister, she's in her early 40s. She couldn't handle the tension and the anxiety of the job of Prime Minister of New Zealand. So she resigned. And in the interview, she said, you know, the stress is too much. I can't handle the stress. And I was thinking, what is New Zealand compared to India in terms of size, in terms of problems? But if you see India, many leaders in India who have led a very life of integrity and high character, they have been kind of detached and they are able to navigate through their responsibilities. So as an ideal leader, a leader is someone who is detached from personal honor. He will do whatever it takes for the people. Logon ke liye achha hai na, karne ka. You know, I think it is the first time in India it has happened that, you know, we see terrorists getting a fitting reply. It never happened in independent India's history. We always spoke about non-violence. You know? But again, I am saying, a leader, when he does that, he has to be deeply rooted in the conception that I am a servant. When Srila Prabhupada spoke about, you know, once he was speaking about this four classes, Brahmana, Kshatriya, like that. And he was sitting on the Vyasasana and one man challenged him. So, are you the Brahmana? Are you the highest class? And spontaneous, you know, these are provocative situations. You cannot, whatever is inside, no, it comes out. You can't, your inside, outside has to be same. Srila Prabhupada immediately said, no, I am the fifth class. I am lower than all the four class. Immediately, I am servant of all. When Srila Prabhupada was challenged by a reporter, are you Allen Ginsberg's guru? This was a very provocative question.
Allen Ginsberg was in 1960s a homosexual leader, and he was into a lot of controversial things, and he was endorsing, he was telling everyone to chant Hare Krishna. And in New York 1960s, Allen Ginsberg is like a big name, and Srila Prabhupada is being challenged, are you Allen Ginsberg's guru? And if he says no, then Allen Ginsberg will feel alienated. He will feel hurt. And if Prabhupada says yes, then he is endorsing or approving of what Allen Ginsberg is doing. So Prabhupada had to give a clever answer, but Prabhupada gave a genuine answer. Because it was asked immediately, and Prabhupada immediately, without batting an eyelid, when he was asked, are you Allen Ginsberg's guru? Immediately Srila Prabhupada said, I am nobody's guru, I am everybody's servant. So devotees thought, what a clever answer. But it was not clever, it was on the spot. You know, when you are provoked, now what is inside comes out. And if we put up a different front outside, then our inside, whatever is there, at the right time it will take revenge. it will come out. You know, once we were serving, I myself cooked sweet rice, and we had made nice sweets in our program, congregation program. And I knew one boy, I wanted to feed him. Because he's a nice boy, he was going through some struggles, he was chanting 16 rounds. So in the prasadam serving, after the program, it's a congregation program, and he was sitting, but he was refusing to take sweet rice. Nahi Prabhuji, nahi. I was thinking, isko kya ho gaya? And then I could sense, he was trying to impress some of the girls there. So he wanted to show that, you know, he's like, strong man, you know, I don't take sweet rice. Oh, no, Prabhuji. Very little, he was like, kya chal raha hai? So anyway, then we wound up, cleaning ho gaya, sab ho gaya, raat ko 10 baje everybody went, and then the base, we were staying in the base. So at night 2 o'clock, I got up to go to the washroom, and I see him in the kitchen, in the refrigerator, he had opened the remaining sweet rice. He was eating sweet rice, so I said, oh, let me not disturb him. So again, jo andar tha, wo bar, the inside will take revenge. So Prabhupada inside outside was same. So he had no problem. I'm a servant. So when he was challenged. So leader is somebody who will be aggressive if needed, but he is a servant. So that aggression is because that is needed to be done. Like, you know, humility, if you see in India, the leadership, who were ideal leaders in the past, they all embodied this integrity and high class character. See Rajgopalachari, India's first and last Governor General after independence. He is the one who wrote this famous Mahabharata and Ramayana, which as children we grew up reading Rajgopalachari. And when he was Lord Mountbatten said, I have to go for my nephew's wedding in India, in England. So somebody has to manage the Governor General and this post for some time. So see, Rajgopalachari was made temporary for 6 months, and then also he was made the Governor General. So when Mountbatten came back, he was shocked to hear the report from the staff, because it's like, you know, huge palace where the Governor General was living, 500 rooms and how many servants. So the Mountbatten was shocked when he got the report that Rajgopalachari was living in only one room, and that too half room, on the floor, washing his own clothes, eating once a day khichdi. That also he only cooked. And he was the highest position in the country. So he got completely bewildered, because the leaders he was dealing with and he was close to was completely opposite. So he was completely bewildered by this. And then, if you see many world leaders at that time, John F. Kennedy met Rajgopalachari for just 15 minutes. And they spoke something. And 40 years later when Kennedy said, not 40 years later, immediately after that, when he went back to America, Kennedy said that the most profound influence in my life ever was those 15 minutes with Sri Rajgopalachari. He's such an unassuming, simple man. And Jimmy Carter was the one who met Rajgopalachari for another 10-15 minutes in some conference in 1940s or 50s. And then later, 40 years later, he wrote a book. And in that book, he says, the person who had the deepest influence on me was Sri Rajgopalachari. So, you know, you don't need any position, power to be influential. How we live, inside, outside, same. Like Lal Bahadur Shastri is a great example. Lal Bahadur Shastri, our India's former Prime Minister, one of his friends came and said, I want 500 rupees loan. He said, my salary is 1000 rupees and nothing is saved, so I can't give you loan.
After some days he came to him and said, thank you, yaar. Your wife gave me the loan. But acha? So he went to his wife and said, are, kaise loan diya usko? He said, aapka salary 1,000 rupees hai. So every month I'm able to save 100 rupees. So then, and I had last 5-6 months savings, so I gave him. So he said, really? Oh, 900 rupees mein ho jata hai. So he wrote a letter to the government saying that please reduce my salary by 900 rupees. Because I am able to manage my life. So these are the leaders in the past, you know. So therefore Parikshit Maharaj, if you see, that Parikshit Maharaj given us the template. So when he was cursed and the sages are sitting in front of him, he's telling them, Taseva megasya paravaresho vyasakta chittasya grihesha bhikshnam nirveda mulo dudashaparupo yatra prasakto bhayamashudatte. In all humility is saying, I deserve this curse. I deserve to give up this body and I'm very attached to my family, to my kingdom. So this is the best thing that has happened to me. So like this, there are beautiful, it's a beautiful section of in the 19th chapter of first canto. And sometimes, you know, we as devotees, we think, oh, we have to be non-violent. And we may be physically non-violent, we may be vegetarian, but we will harm other devotees by our words. Like I see one of my friends, he is very active on social media, and I see the comments and videos, so many appreciative comments from all over the world. You know, Bangladeshi, Pakistani, everybody is appreciating. And in between you will see somebody, some Krishna Bhakta Das writing horrible things, which, you know, and I wonder how can devotees. So sometimes we may be very non-violent in terms of our food and our lifestyle, but in our words and behavior. So, but if I'm fixated as a servant of Krishna, then I will do whatever is needed. So the main thing is I'm a servant. I remember once His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj was being introduced in a youth festival. So the person introducing kept saying, Maharaj has done this course, Maharaj has this degree, Maharaj is expert in mediation, so many things, you know, this to attract the new people. He kept saying, and Maharaj was hearing very attentively as the introduction was going on. Oh, very nice. So after the introduction, then Maharaj said, oh, Prabhu, you forgot to mention one point. So then this devotee said, oh, yeah, Maharaj, sorry, you are PhD also, no? Maharaj said, no. You forgot one point. So then he was, as the devotee was wondering, Maharaj said, you forgot to mention that I am the servant of all devotees. That is my most important qualification. So this is the characteristic of not just devotees. If you see Krishna, Krishna is always in this mood. I am a servant of my devotee. You know, and of course, devotees don't simply say I am a servant. You know? If you see how Krishna enters in the Bhagavatam. How does Krishna enter the Srimad Bhagavatam? Where does he enter? 7th chapter, 1st canto. He enters as Arjuna's driver. So he's not simply saying he's servant of his devotees, he's actually showing by his action. His nature is showing. See, there are three things, you know, knowing, doing and being. So I know I'm servant of devotees. I know it because I'm hearing in the class. But when it comes, I may not be able to do it. I may even do it out of force because I want to be servant. But I may not be a servant in the sense it may not be intrinsically, seamlessly mixed with my personality. But for Krishna, he's not only saying he's servant, he's not only doing it, he actually intrinsically is serving his devotees. So we have to also be in that mood. And there are millions of leelas where Krishna is servant of his devotees. In Rajasuya Yagya, he's washing the feet, right? As chariot driver of Arjuna. After Jarasandha was killed, you know what happened? They all came back to Hastinapur. So, who all had gone to kill Jarasandha? Krishna, Bhima and Arjuna. So when they came back, now everybody knew Bhima could kill Jarasandha because of Krishna telling expertly that usko aisa kaat ke, aisa pheko, idhar pheko, like that. You know, Krishna's expertise. Everybody knew, but when they were coming, Krishna, what he did, you know, they all were coming. So Krishna told Bhima and Arjuna to go in front of him. Krishna came in the behind. So Bhima was like coming in the front and everybody was honoring him and Krishna was behind. So Jiva Goswami gives purport. Why Krishna did this? Because Jiva Goswami says Krishna feels shy. Because, oh, they will all glorify me too much that you did this. That is Krishna's quality. He prefers that Bhima gets glorification. He prefers Arjuna gets glorification. When Kunti glorified Krishna so much, you know, in the first canto we see these beautiful prayers. How did Krishna respond after all those prayers? Krishna, what did he say? How did he respond? He simply smiled. Ultimately, he is the doer, he is the enjoyer. But he says, Mayeva, Vihitanita, and everything. I have already killed all the soldiers in the Mahabharat war. If you don't believe me, Arjuna, just see my mouth. They all are entering my mouth. I have crushed them. But he tells them, Nimitta Matram Bhavasavya Sachi, you take the credit. You become an instrument. So therefore, he accepts us to have the same mood. He accepts us to serve sincerely and be in the mood of servant. And do whatever it takes to serve. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, enters Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita as a servant. In a movie, how does a hero enter? You know, he will enter in such a dramatic way. And he will move his hair, he will flick his hair and he will... and then everybody... Like last week I was in Kolkata. You know, Kolkata is a very emotional... people are emotionally very volatile. So there was one very famous movie, Bollywood movie poster. For me, it was any other poster. I didn't give it importance. And there was a cutout of the hero with a gun, you know. He's standing. And that was also normal for me. But I had devotees from England in the car. There were 8-9 devotees from England. And they were laughing loudly and they were like, I was chanting. I said, what has happened? I said, Prabhuji, they said, look at that movie. I said, yeah, that's normal in India. And then I realized for them, it was abnormal. And they were laughing. I said, what is so funny? They said, Prabhuji, see that hero, you know, that hero of the movie, big, tall. It was a 7-foot or 8-foot cutout. The gun is standing. I said, yeah, that's also normal. And I said, Prabhu, garland. Then I saw there were 5-6 garlands on him. That was too much. And the garland and there is red, the bindi, that red, you know, something on his forehead and his eye holding. So that is our hero. Hero means one who enters with a gun and he kills everyone. Yeah. And the greatest movie is Bhagavatam. The greatest movie is Bhagavad Gita. And the greatest hero is Krishna. And how does he enter? Chariot driver. So, it's amazing, isn't it? Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but he is in this, always in the mood of servant. Actually, if you see just before the Mahabharat war, when Krishna was war was about to start, it said that how Duryodhana started taunting Krishna. He said, oh, you are Dwarkadish. You are such a great person. And you are driving the chariot. He made fun of Krishna. And Krishna, how did he respond to Duryodhana? Anybody knows? Krishna simply smiled. The acharyas give purport that Krishna simply smiled because he was telling Duryodhana by that smile, yes, I am driving because I am a servant, not just of Arjuna. I am servant of his servant. I am servant of the horses. You see, I am going to take care of the horses in the war. So then in the war, we see how Krishna was massaging the horses also. So like that, Krishna has established this gold standard. And Vrindavan, how does Krishna enter? You read Bhagavatam. How is Krishna presented in Bhagavatam? He is servant. He is running away. You know, if you are reading 10th canto, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is running away from fear of Mother Yashoda. And is hearing, Namam Ishwaram Satchida Ananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam. His earrings are said to be the most of all the ornaments Krishna has on his body. Krishna's earrings are said to be the most luckiest because they are always kissing his cheeks as Krishna is running from the fear of his mother Yashoda. And Krishna, the Supreme Lord, who time personified, is afraid of him, and he is afraid of an ordinary simple woman, Mother Yashoda. So like that, Upanishads are addressing Krishna as you are the Lord, you are great, you are God. But he doesn't like it. He likes to be in the rasa, he likes to be servant. Similarly, devotees may get position. They may get, you know, GBC, guru, like that, big, big position. That position they may get, but they don't enjoy it. Their rasa is, I want to be servant. How can I make this devotee happy? How can I please him? So that is the mood. That is a rasa in Bhagavatam. That's why you see Brahmaji, He is amazed, you know, in the 14th chapter of 10th canto, he says, aho bhagyam, nanda gopa vrajaukasam, yan mitram paramanandam, purnam brahma sanatanam. Aho bhagyam, what a great fortune of Vrajavasis that yan mitram paramanandam, purnam brahma, the Supreme Lord has become simply a child, a friend of this Vrajavasis. He has become, and even Vrajavasis, they love Krishna so much that they don't believe he is God. That is the way he has convinced them. You know, if you ask a Brajavasi, Krishna lifted Govardhan, they say, Govardhan was lifted not by Krishna. Kuch makhan so bal bado, kuch gopan kare sahay, Shri Radha ji ki kripa so girivar liyo uthay. Kuch macha makhan khate the Krishna aur Radha Rani ki kripa thi aur gopo ne help kiya, iske liye Girivar ji uth gaye. That much love he has attracted from the heart of his devotees, and he just loves to be a puppet in their hands. Even in the 11th chapter of 10th canto, when Shukadeva Goswami is glorifying Krishna's childhood pastimes, he says how Krishna likes to be servant. He says, Gopi bi stobito nrityat bhagavan balavat pachet udgayati kachin mugdas tadvasho daru yantravat. He says, and Gopi say, Krishna, dance. So Krishna starts dancing. Gopis say, Krishna, sing. So Krishna starts singing. Why? Because Sukadeva Goswami says, Daru Yantravat. He is like a wooden doll in the hand of the devotees. And then his father says, Krishna, get me the asan. Get me my footwear. Bibharti kvachit agyapta pita konmana padukam. Bau kshepam cha kurute. Swanam cha priti avahan. So he gets his father's sandals. Then his father says he has to pick up a mortar. And he's trying and he's not able to lift. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not able to lift a simple mortar. And then what does he do? Bahu kshepam cha kurute. He starts patting his shoulders and arms. Oh, I'm going to become strong one day. And then I'm going to lift. Now what is happening because of this? Preeti, swanam cha preeti mahavahan. The gopis and the gopas are seeing it and their love is increasing so much. So why does he do all of this? Shukadeva Goswami finally gives an emphatic declaration. Because Krishna is convinced that he is a servant. Darshayam stadvidam loka atmano britya vashyatam mrajasyo vahavai harsham bhagavan balacheshtite. Two reasons why Krishna performs childhood pastimes in Vrindavan. First is to give happiness to his friends and devotees in Vrindavan. And to declare to the whole world that atmano britya vashyatam. I am controlled by my servants and I am their servant. So if Krishna is himself setting the standard, how much more we have to be in this mood that I am a servant of devotees. So let us cultivate this mood, and in this mood when we serve, then whatever is needed we will do. Sometimes one has to be aggressive, one has to be assertive, one has to be humble. Whatever is needed, that will be done. That is the mood basically. I am the servant in all situations. Details may vary. Parishit Maharaj is convinced, I am servant. Sometimes he has to pick up the sword to chastise Kali. At other times he will drop everything and fall full dandavat to devotees. In this mood when we cultivate, we perfect our devotional life. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I'm Ishwar Krishna Das from Israel, visiting here, and thank you Prabhu for a very enlightening class and your discussion of violence and non-violence. Apparently you discussed Varna Ashrama, but Varna, Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, and Kshatriyas are violent, they protect Dharma. It's also there in the Bhagavad Gita. At the same time, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Palityaja, and so forth, abandon all dharmas. So, and apparently he went back and forth between the principle of non-violence and the principle of violence. So my question, are we devotees committed to dharma?
Spiritually, we have, our responsibility is to surrender to Krishna completely. Give up all dharma and surrender to Krishna, internally, spiritually. But we live in a society, and as socially responsible, I gave the pastime of Prabhupada in San Diego in the beginning of the class. Sometimes we have responsibility, like for example, during the Kargil War in 1999, there was a war, India and Pakistan war. And it was a Sunday Bhagavatam class. The temple hall was packed with devotees. And one devotee asked a question to His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. He said, Maharaj, right now there is India-Pakistan war going on, Kargil war. And we are devotees. Our dharma is to just surrender to Krishna and not worry about anything else. So, are we responsible or are we committed to dharma? What should we do in this situation? Something similar, right? And Maharaj gave a beautiful answer. It's still etched in my heart. Maharaj said, if we are indifferent, we should know one thing, that we are able to practice devotional service right now because somebody is protecting our land. And if we don't support and empathize with them, then we are not being human. We are not being civil. At the same time, we have limitations. We are sadhakas. We are connected to Krishna. We don't have that. And then he looked at one of the brahmacharis. And he kept looking at him. And then Maharaj spoke the pastime of Subhash Chandra Bose approaching Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And telling him that, you know, give your men. What are they just sitting in the temple and chanting Hare Krishna? I want to fight the British. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him, Are, they're very weak, they're not strong. Let them eat some rice and chant Hare Krishna. They can't fight with you. So then Maharaj said this pastime, and then Maharaj looked at that brahmachari who was sitting in the class. He was very thin. Maharaj told him, stand up. So he stood up. So Maharaj said, so if we are asked to come into the battlefield and fight, look at him, he's so thin. He can't fight. So let him stay here. So like that Maharaj laughed. So basically, one has to be not just clever or diplomatic, one has to be sincere. You know, we are getting help. I mean, we can't have a holier-than-thou attitude and stiff upper lip. You know, we are messengers of God. You know, we have no obligation to anyone. Our dharma is only surrender to Krishna. Like one brahmachari, this is a true incident. He was going, the train ticket collector in the local train arrest caught him. Where is the ticket? He said, I am devotee of Krishna. I just surrender to Krishna. I don't need ticket. I don't need. He was angry and they had an argument. And then this devotee went to Amara station. I said, where are you going? The TT asked him. I'm going to the airport to catch a flight. So this TC was so angry that you are taking a flight and you can't buy a ticket for the train. So sometimes we have, you know, I'm devotee. I don't have obligation to any. That attitude is bad. If I'm sincerely in the mood of a servant, okay. I'm grateful that I'm able to practice bhakti in this country where dharma is protected. So whatever I can do to help, we will do to support dharma. But we have our limitations because we are at the end of the day, you know, we have given our life to serve Krishna. And if Krishna expects this from us, if situation warrants, devotees do whatever is needed. You know, in Yugoslavia, I was reading the story of these two girls, Janu Kanyaka and Amsavina Mataji, Indradumna Swami Maharaj's disciples. You can read 1997 Back to God in magazine. These two young girls, 22, 23-year-old girls, they managed the whole ISKCON center when there was a war going on all around them. It's crazy the way they managed, the way they took care of so many people and they preached, they did book distribution, they did service. So we want to help people. And the world is always in a war-like situation. During the 2008 terrorist attacks, one of our devotees, Nilesh, he was in the forefront fighting the terrorists. And he also comes to temple. He chants Hare Krishna. So devotees take responsibility. It's not that we don't have any responsibility in the society. At the same time, we know this is all temporary. We know this is all going to end. So we do whatever is needed. Just like you have responsibility in your family. You have responsibility at different areas of your life. You have responsibility towards dharma also. And individually in our heart, we just surrender to Krishna. But because we honor Varnashram Dharma also, like not everybody is a sannyasi, not everybody is given up family, and we are not Bhajanandi sitting in Vrindavan. We are living in an institution needs help. You know,
You know, if you are sitting under a tree in Vrindavan and doing bhajan, then you don't need anything. But if you need even a fan above your head, then you need management, you need institution, you need to deal with people, you need to deal with governments. So then one has to be wise, one has to be mature and do the needful. Is that okay, Prabhu? We'll stop here. It's 9:25. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.